when you hear a show tune from the Great White Way, does a shiver run through ya? Well, we're giving them to ya. Sing hallelujah and shout hooray. Come on along and listen to Broadway to Main Street. USA.
Nina from Argentina knew all the answers, although her relatives and friends were perfect dancers. She swore she'd never dance a step until she died. She said, I've seen too many movies, and all they prove is too idiotic. They all insist that South America's exotic, whereas it couldn't be more boring if it tried. She added firmly that she hated the sound of soft guitars beside a still lagoon. She also positively stated that she could not abide a southern moon. She said, I hate to be pedantic, but it drives me nearly frantic when I see that unromantic, sycophantic lot of sluts forever wriggling their guts. It drives me absolutely nuts. She refused to begin the begin when they requested it, and she made an embarrassing scene if anyone suggested it, for she detested it. Though no one ever could be keener than little Nina on quite a number of very eligible men who did the rumba, when they proposed to her, she simply left them flat. She said that love should be impulsive, but not convulsive, and syncopation had a discouraging effect on procreation, and that she'd rather read a book, and that was that. She refused to begin the begin when they besought her to, and in language profane and obscene, she cursed the man who taught her to. She cursed Cole Porter too. From this it's fairly clear that Nina, in her demeanor, was so offensive that when the hatred of her friends grew too intensive, she thought she'd better beat it while she had the chance. After some trial and tribulation, she reached the station and met a sailor who had acquired a wooden leg in Venezuela, and so she married him because he couldn't dance. There surely never could have been a more irritating girl than Nina. They never speak in Argentina of this degenerate bambina who had the luck to find romance, but resolutely wouldn't dance. She wouldn't dance. Hola.
Hola. That was Noel Coward, of course, singing about Nina, who, believe it or not, cursed Cole Porter, too. Would we ever curse Cole Porter on Broadway to Main Street? Highly doubtful. Hello, this is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street, here on 88.3 FM, Peconic Public Broadcasting, emanating out of the autumnal hamlet of Southampton, New York, the playground of the rich and famous. So what better two people to celebrate on today's show than the man we heard singing and the man we heard cursed, Cole Porter and Noel Coward. So today's show is called Cole and Noel, certainly two of the most famous writers of the 1920s, 30s, 40s, etc. And since we're talking about famous writers of the 1920s, I have to make a nod again, as we always do, to the Ira and Leonore Gershwin Philanthropic Fund for helping to support this program. Well, Cole and Noel, it's not the most original idea to put the two of them together, A, because there have been some other reviews and stuff over the years that have done that, but certainly in their own lifetime, they were inescapable. One, of course, American Cole Porter, who was born in Piru, Indiana, but was born rich, eventually inherited rich, and married even richer to Linda Thomas, and lived in Europe, in Paris and in Venice in the 20s until he came back to America in the late 20s, early 30s, and began this astonishing career. And Noel Coward, who was English to the core and born in London and became an enfant terrible, who was a star of the British stage in the mid-20s, by the mid-20s and towards the late 20s, had written reviews and plays and starred in them. And they both epitomize the elegant, witty, cutting-edge, what would I say, real 20th century attitude. They, along with, I don't know, Ernest Hemingway and Gertrude Stein and you name it, I think helped many ways to define the 20th century. So one of the things they both liked to do was to entertain. So we'll hear Steve Ross, one of the great Cole Porter renditioners of our age, singing a great song about throwing a ball, and then we'll hear an old Coward song about attending one. What could be better? Whoop-de-doo. We're having a ball tonight.
My life was simply hellish. I didn't stand a chance. I thought that I would relish a tomb like General Grant's. But now I feel so swellish, so Elsa Maxwellish, that I'm giving a dance. I feel like $1 million, feel simply out of sight. So come on down, come on down, I'm throwing a ball tonight. I'm full of the old paprika, loaded with dynamite. So come on down, come on down, I'm throwing a ball tonight. A certain person just brought some news, and wow, was it great. So I'm rehearsing my dancing shoes, 'cause now I can celebrate. I feel like $1 million, feel simply out of sight. So come on down, I'm throwing a ball tonight. I invited Wendell Willkie, I invited FDR, and for photographs I asked the staffs of Life, Look, Peek, Pick, Snap, Click, and Harper's Bazaar. I invited Monty Woolley, and of course I asked Cliff Odets. But to my surprise, every one of those guys tendered his regrets. And so I feel like $1 million, feel simply out of sight. So come on down, I'm throwing a ball tonight. I've arranged a rumba contest just to make the party chic, and the winning ones will get 2 tons of Lux, Pons, Teal, Squibs, Mum, Zip, and Camphophonique. I invited Johnny Walker, and Hagen, I asked twice, but to all of my bids, every one of those kids wired back no dice. And so I feel like $1 million, feel simply out of sight. So come on down, come on down, come on down, come on down, I'm feeling magnific, throwing a terrific ball tonight.
I've been invited to a party. Everyone will say, who's that pretty girl, as they see me swirl on the floor. And before the night is through, I'll be drinking champagne out of everyone's shoe. People will murmur, but she's charming. What a lovely smile, what a sense of style. Nobody will guess that my dress is the one that I wear in scene three. Then the whole royal court will agree that the belle of the ball is me. The most entrancing waltz will be the waltz. The prince will dance with me. And as we're floating cheek to cheek, the pressure of his hand will make me understand there's really no necessity to speak. Guests will cheer and cry bravo as round and round and round we'll go. And when the music comes to an end, he'll say, hey, you found a friend. I've been invited to a party, and when they've at last played the final dance, someone will advance, and I'll wait till a stately limousine drives me back to the sunrise, to Camberwell Green. And when I ride home to Milwaukee, Mom will have a fit when she reads the bit saying that I dance with a prince, and that since I've been asked for to tea, then she'll tell all the neighbors with glee that the belle of the ball was me.
Well, if any two composers in the history of the musical theater knew about Belles of the Ball and Marvelous Parties, of course, it was Cole Porter and Noel Coward, who we're celebrating today on Broadway to Main Street. Well, we talk a lot about the elegant life, or hi-ho, the glamorous life, when it comes to Cole Porter and Noel Coward. Cole Porter was extremely wealthy. He lived in the Waldorf Astoria. He entertained glamorously. He had the best of taste. And Noel Coward was actually born sort of middle class, lower middle class, and learned to not only acquire it, but define it. But they also were wonderful writers of the human heart, I think an aspect of their work that is often neglected. Here are two songs, one from Jubilee, which is about the British royal family, written by Cole Porter, and a late Noel Coward book show called Sail Away. Two songs that deal with, I don't know, diving headfirst into that somewhat turbulent pool called human emotion and vulnerability. Here is the forever fantastic Chris Connor singing Cole Porter's Why Shouldn't I?
Why shouldn't I take a chance when romance passes by? Why shouldn't I know of love? Why wait around when each age has a sage who has found that upon this earth love is all that is really worth thinking of? It must be fun, lots of fun, to be sure when day is done that the hour is coming when you'll be kissed, and then you'll be kissed again. So I feel that it's good, and every star out in far Hollywood seems to give it a try. So why shouldn't I? But from knowing secondhand what I do of it, I feel certain I could stand a closer view of it. So I feel that it's good, and every star out in far Hollywood seems to give it a try. So why shouldn't I?
I found a little cafe on the beach with a terrace overlooking the sea. Will you have dinner with me tonight?
It is strictly against the rules for me to dally, hobnob, or fraternize with any of the passengers. What time?
Meet me here at 8:30.
Okay, Johnny.
Okay, Mimi.
This is not a day like any other day. This is something special and apart. Something to remember when the coldness of December chills my heart. Something very strange is happening to me. Every face I see seems to be smiling. All the sounds I hear, the buses changing gear, suddenly appear to be beguiling. Nobody is melancholy, nobody is sad, not a single shadow on the sea. Some magician's spell has made this magic start. I feel I want to hold each shining moment my heart. Something strange and gay on this enchanted day seems to be happening to me. Something very strange is happening to me. Every cat I see seems to be purring. I can clearly tell in every clanging bell some forgotten melody recurring. Tinker, tailor, soldier, sailor, beggar, man, or thief, every single leaf on every tree seems to be aware of something in the air. And if only I were younger, I'd put ribbons in my hair. Something strange and gay on this romantic day seems to be happening to
two songs written about 30 years apart, one by Cole Porter, the second by Noel Coward, for Sail Away, a musical about a ship, transatlantic liner, and that was Elaine Stritch, of course. Again, their paths intersected so much. Cole Porter actually wrote Jubilee on a transatlantic liner with Moss Hart. So, two examples of the high life. One of the things that always comes up in the, what would I say, card catalog of talking about Cole Porter and Noel Coward, certainly with Porter, the list song, the idea that you have a long sort of patter list, and clearly taken from W.S. Gilbert, of an idea, and you keep going ad infinitum till you get to the sublime and the ridiculous simultaneously. Here is a wonderful list song from Out of This World, a book musical that Cole Porter wrote in 1950. And then we'll go into a book musical written by Coward, based on a Coward play, Blithe Spirit. It's got a score by Hugh Martin and Timothy Gray, but I think Noel Coward wrote a lot of the lyrics we're about to hear. Anyway, two wonderful list songs, one about a Greek god and one about a good old Judeo-Christian heaven. First, we'll hear Peter Scolari from the Encores revival of Out of This World.
Oh, what a bevy of beauties. Oh, what a school of fish. Oh, what a covey of cuties. Oh, what a dish delish.
I've known but litters of minxes, all of them fun for a while. But now, for the nonce, what methinks is you've got them.
We've got them. Beat 'em mile.
They couldn't compare to you. They couldn't compare to you. Although I've played many, many a maid, they couldn't compare to you. I've thoroughly pitched the woo from the heights of Valhalla to Kalamazoo. And though they all had a lot on the ball, they couldn't compare to you. Strange but true, I hereby declare, from tiptoe to hair, they could not compare to you. After playing the local sirens who resided in my environs, I decided to learn the art of Cupid's trickery. So at once I started cruising, found the muses so amusing that I even got a kick out of Terpsichore. After her I met Calypso, who was definitely a dipso. Then I fled to fat Brunhilde, she was German. After snitching Eve from Adam, I attended Call Me Madam, and shortly began to nestle merman. I admired the silken body of the Sheikh Scheherazade, then of Lady Godiva I became the lord. After that I staged an orgy for some friends of Lucretia Borgia, and ended up at the Stork with Fanny Ward. After having had a party with Phoenicia's goddess Astarte, well, I raised a bit of hell with Penelope. After quieting all my urchins for several Vestal virgins, I put on a strip for Gypsy Rose Lee. Though I liked the Queen of Sheba, she was mentally an amoeba. As for Beatrice d'Este, she was a pest and far too chesty. As for the passionate wife of Nero, my reactions were frankly zero. As for that sorceress known as Circe, she was so hot I hollered for mercy.
So hot we hollered for mercy!
There was Galatea and mean Medea and Sappho, one of the best. There was Nefertiti, a perfect sweetie and gay Mae West. I was a hell of a fella with Cinderella and Isabella of Spain. And I used to caress both Lola Montez and that damn Calamity Jane. When betwixt Nell Gwynn and Anne Boleyn I was forced to make my choice. I became so confused I was even amused and abused by Peggy Joyce. There was Melisande, a platinum blonde, how I loved to ruffle her locks. There was bright Aurora, then Pandora, who let me open her
box. They couldn't compare to you.
They couldn't compare to you.
Although he's played many, many a maid.
They couldn't compare to you. I've thoroughly pitched the woo from Pelipipolippi to Tippecanoe.
And though they all had a lot on the ball,
they couldn't compare to you. But true, I hereby declare, from tiptoe to hair,
from head cap to square,
from dressed up to bare,
they couldn't compare to you.
Simple, no angel choirs, but we have stereo and Merriopen fires. Caruso sings there, Salome swings there in my home sweet heaven. My house is modest, it's by Bernini, and I have the feeling that the ceiling's by Cellini. Old Tetrazzini bellows Puccini in my home sweet heaven. We all sit round King Arthur's table, Freud and Cain and Abel, Barnum and Bailey, Oscar Wilde and me. And it's such fun when Julius Caesar, Proust and St. Teresa drop in for a cup of tea. Disraeli's witty and Homer's hearty, and Joan of Arc's the type who sparks the dullest party. We crack a bottle with Aristotle in my home sweet heaven. The King of Prussia, I call him Freddy, is living by mistake with Mary Baker Eddy. Our name is simple, has built a temple in my home sweet heaven. There's Dr. Crippen, he's very chummy with Lizzie Borden and her daddy and her mummy. They split a kipper with Jack the Ripper in my home sweet heaven. After I've lunched with Keats and Shelley, Brahms and Botticelli, Martin Luther asks me out to dine. And it would really bowl you over watching Casanova try to flirt with Gertrude Stein. She's a gas, it's a gas, it's a gas. Delilah's dreary, but Samson's handsome, and with his good looks, Robin Hood looks fit for ransom. Jane Austen giggles, Houdini wriggles, then it's seventh heaven, eleventh heaven. I miss the love, the laughter rippling and the tippling, and Emily Bronte doing the twist with Kipling. Oh, I'm homesick for my home, sweet heaven. There's Mussolini draped in a sari, mad as a hatter, like a fatter Mata Hari. He's even ruder than Mary Tudor in my home, sweet heaven. King Charles's spaniel, a golden cocker, jumps up and knocks poor Whistler's mother off a rocker. Though Cromwell's crummy, we play Jim Rummy in my home, sweet heaven. Thomas A. Becket loves absurd games, blind man's buff and word games. Boswell plays bezique for hours on end. At Horace Walpole's weekly whist drive, Handelbach and Liszt drive everybody round the bend. Lady Godiva is going steady with old King Ethelred, who's hardly ever ready. They share a chalet with Walter Raleigh and his good Queen Bessie. It's rather messy. I miss the thrill of seeing Milton on a bender with Bonnie Prince Charlie and that old pretender. Oh, I'm homesick for my home sweet one to heaven. It's a gas, it's a gas, it's a gas. Oh, I'm homesick for my home sweet heaven.
Sweet indeed. That was the master himself, Noel Coward. Today on Broadway to Main Street, we're looking at Noel Coward and Cole Porter, two individuals who did much to define the sophistication and wit of not only the British musical theater, in Coward's case, but the American musical theater, because he did so much across the foam. Both of them did, actually. Interesting, isn't it, that they both have first names that rhyme with four letters. Cole Porter was about 9 years older than Coward, but they both actually died at the age of 73, so go figure, and they knew each other. This was this great, certainly in the 20s and 30s, and in Coward's case with Porter into the 60s, but this great brotherhood or fraternity, maybe that's a better word, of great songwriters who knew each other and supported each other. And Coward came to visit Linda and Cole Porter when they were renting out a huge villa in Venice when he became a star. And I think they supported each other very much. Well, you can't have a Coward or a Porter show, really, without some sort of wonderful party with martini glasses raised and elegant baccarat crystal and all that kind of stuff. So here is, we'll switch them around. Here is Beatrice Lilly singing about a marvelous party, and then we'll go into a swelligant, elegant party with Frank Sinatra and Bing Crosby.
Quite for no reason, I'm here for the season and high as a kite. Living in error with Maud at Cap Ferrer, which couldn't be right. Everyone's here and frightfully gay. Nobody cares what people say. Though the Riviera seems really much queerer than Rome at its height. Yesterday night, I went to a marvelous party with Nunu and Nada and Nell. It was in the fresh air, and we went as we were, and we stayed as we were, which was hell. Poor Grace started singing at midnight, and she didn't stop singing till 4. We knew the excitement was bound to begin when Laura got blind on Dubonnet and gin and scratched her veneer with a Cartier pin. I couldn't have liked it more. I've been to a marvelous party. I must say, the fun was intense. We all had to do what the people we knew would be doing 100 years hence. Dear Cecil arrived wearing armor, some shells, and a black feathered boa. Poor Millicent wore a surrealist comb, made of bits of mosaic from St. Peter's in Rome. But the weight was so great that she had to go home. I couldn't have liked it more. People's behavior away from Belgravia would make you aghast. So much variety watching society scampering past. If you have any mind at all, Gibbon's Divine Decline and Fall seems pretty flimsy, no more than a whimsy. By way of contrast, Saturday last, I went to a marvelous party. We didn't start dinner till 10, and young Bobby Carr did a stunt at the bar with a lot of extraordinary men. Dear Baba arrived with a turtle, which shattered us all to the core. The Grand Duke was dancing a rumba with me, when suddenly Cyril screamed, "Fiddle-dee-dee!" and ripped off his trousers and jumped in the sea. I couldn't have liked it more. I've been to a marvelous party. Elise made an entrance with May. You'd never have guessed from her fisherman's vest that her bust had been whittled away. Poor Lulu got fried on Chianti and talked about esprit de corps. Maurice made a couple of passes at Gus, and Freddie, who hates any kind of a fuss, did half the Big Apple and twisted his trust. I couldn't have liked it more.
I have heard among this clan, you are called a forgotten man.
Is that what they're saying?
Well, did you ever?
What a swell party this is.
And have you heard the story of a boy, a girl, unrequited love?
Sounds like pure soap opera.
I may cry.
Tune in tomorrow.
What a swell party this is. What frills,
what frocks,
what broths,
what furs,
what rocks.
They're beautiful.
Well, I've never seen such gaiety.
Neither did I.
It's all just too exquisite, really. This French champagne.
Domestic.
So good for the brain.
That's what I was going to say.
You know, you're a brilliant fellow.
Thank you.
Drink up, Jack. Please don't eat that glass, my friend. Have you heard about dear Blanche? Got run down by an avalanche.
No.
Don't worry, she's a game girl, you know. Got up and finished fourth.
This kid's got guts.
Having a nice time?
Grab a line.
Have you heard that Mimsy Star?
Oh, what now?
She got pinched in the Astor Bar.
Sauced again, eh?
She was stoned.
Well, did you ever?
Never.
What a
swell party this is. It's great.
Oh, it's great.
It's grand.
So grand.
It's wonderland.
La 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 la
la la
la la la la la la la
la la
la la la la.
We sing.
We sing.
So rare.
So rare.
Like old camembert. Like ba ba.
Ba-bum.
Did don't dig that kind of crooning, chum.
You must be one of the newer fellas.
Have you heard it's in the stars? Next July we collide with Mars. Well, did you ever? What a swell party, a swell party, a swell again, elegant party this is. I drink to your health.
Nah, let's drink to your wealth.
You're my bon ami.
Hey, that's French.
A liberty
fraternity.
Have you heard it's in the stars? Next July we collide with Mars. Well, did you ever? What a swell party. Swell party.
What could be more swellegant or elegant or marvelous than spending an hour with Cole Porter and Noel Coward? That last song, of course, from one of my beloved films, High Society, Cole Porter score, Philip Barry, Philadelphia Story, another great guy who was in that sort of circle, who knew how to write sophisticated elite upper class people. Well, those sophisticated elite upper class people often want to get away for the weekend, all that entertaining and first nighting and doing all that swellegant, elegant stuff in penthouses in Manhattan gets a bit exhausting. So our two songs, first by Cole Porter from Let's Face It with Danny Kaye in the original lead, getting back to God's Green Earth with Farming.
Here's a bit of news that's quite a shocker, proving Mother Nature still has charm. Quoting Mr. Charlie Knickerbocker, get in the swim and buy a farm. Acres of alfalfa, fields of clover, suddenly enchant our top who's who. So the moment all this row is over, what say if we go hasty to for farming? That's the fashion, farming. That's the fashion of our great celebrities of today. Kid Cornell is shelling peas. Lady Mendel's climbing trees. Dear Mae West is at her best in the hay. Singing while they're raking, bringing home the bacon makes them feel more glamorous and more gay. They tell me cows when they're feeling milky all give cream when the milk by Wilkie.
Old farming
is so charming, they all say.
Old farming, that's the fashion, farming. That's the fashion of the great celebrities of today. Yeah, yeah.
5 o'clock, the cock is crowing, though the frost is on the pumpkin. Back to sleep, you can't be going if you want to be a bumpkin. It's so chic for look or peek to take your picture with the Guernsey in the wilds of old Connecticut, or possibly New Jersey.
Muzzin' up the clover, cussing when it's over makes them feel more glamorous and more gay today.
Hard and Kaufman in Bucks County pulled a farming killer dilla when they planted in their cornfields all their clippings from Joe Miller.
Farming is so charming, they all say.
That's the fashion, farming.
Raising chickens.
That's the passion of our great celebrities of today.
Bernard Shaw doing turkey in the straw.
Don't inquire of Georgie Rabb.
Caw-caw.
Why his cow has never calved.
Caw-caw.
Georgie's bull is beautiful, but he's gay.
Stop spraying in the hay, take it away.
Mussing up the clover, cussing.
Grow tomatoes.
When it's over, makes them feel informal and degagé.
Eat that wheat with your Greta Garbo feet.
The natives think it's utterly utter when Margie Hart starts churning her butter.
Farming is so charming, they all say.
feeling dreary and blue. I'm only too glad to be left alone, dreaming of a place in the sun when day is done, far from a telephone, bustle and the weary crowd make me wanna cry out loud. Give me something peaceful and grand where all the land slumbers in monotone. I'm world weary, world weary, living in a great big town. I find it so dreary, so dreary. Everything looks gray or brown. I want an ocean blue, great big trees, a bird's eye view of the Pyrenees. I want to watch the moon rise up and see the great red sun go down. Watching clouds go by through a wintry sky fascinates me. But if I'm standing in the street, everyone I meet simply hates me, because I'm world weary, world weary. I could kiss the railroad tracks. I want to get right back to nature and relax. Get up in the morning at 8. Relentless fate drives me to work at 9. Toiling like a bee in a hive from 4 to 5, whether it's wet or fine. Hardly ever see the sky. Buildings seem to grow so high. Maybe in the future I will perhaps fulfill this little dream of mine. I'm world weary, world weary, tired of all those jumping jacks. I want to get right back to nature and relax.
Bobby Short, who probably did more than anyone contemporaneously to not only get Noel and Cole out there, but link them. He had a Crazy About Cole Porter album, a Mad About Noel Coward album, the best Bobby Short. Well, Noel Coward and Cole Porter were certainly celebrities in their day. I mean, they were what do you call them, bold-faced names, even before they had that kind of thing. And Coward was so famous that he was parodied twice in shows by Moss Howard. First, by Moss Hart, first Jubilee in 1935, where he was a character called Eric Dare. Dare Coward, get it? Songs written by Cole Porter. And then in The Man Who Came to Dinner, written by Kaufman and Hart in 1939, there's a character called Bibbly Carlton who swings into town and after ravishing Raja's niece and writes this great musical comedy which he'll star in, and, you know, just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Anyway, here is the song written by Cole Porter to imitate a Noel Coward song, What Am I to Do?, sung by Hubble Pierce.
Oft in the nightfall, I think I might fall down from my perilous height. Deep in the heart of me, always the part of me, quivering, shivering light. Run, little lady, ere the shady shafts of time barb you with their winged desire, singe you with their sultry fire. Softly a fluid druid meets me, olden and golden the dawn that greets me. Cherishing, so perishing, up to the stars I climb. What am I to do toward ending this madness, this sadness that's rending me through? The flowers of yesteryear are haunting me, taunting me, darling, for wanting you. What am I to say to warnings of sorrow, when warnings tomorrow drinks the dew? Will I see the cosmic rips shattered and scattered to bits? What not am I to do?
That was from not a musical, but a play, a great comedy, The Man Who Came to Dinner by Kaufman and Hart. And that was Cole Porter writing as if he were Noel Coward. In fact, I think he signed the music as being by Noel Porter. Again, these lives coming together in such an interesting way. Both Cole Porter and Noel Coward, as I've said repeatedly, were not only the avatar of sophisticated high life and great humor and sparkle and wit in the American and the British musical. They knew each other. They both had the same producer for a while, Charles Cochran. They both made a segue, somewhat bumpily, in Coward's case, I would say, in the 50s and 60s into the integrated musical, the narrative musical. Cole Porter did much better with Kiss Me, Kate, 1948. They were both homosexual. Cole Porter was married to a wealthy socialite named Linda Lee Thomas. They had, by all accounts, a fantastic relationship, if not a complicated one. And they just crossed each other's lives so many times. Cole Porter wrote Let's Do It, which is one of the great list songs, one of the great sort of witty sexual songs in 1929. Here is Wesla Whitfield, a wonderful cabaret performer. Somebody told me just retired, which is too bad. She's fantastic. She gives a very elegant reading of Cole Porter's Let's Do It, and then we'll play it, and then we'll come back to Sir Noel.
When the little blue bird, who has never said a word, starts to sing, spring, spring. When the little blue bell in the bottom of the dell starts to ring, ding, ding. When the little blue clerk in the middle of his work starts to tune to the moon up above. It is nature, that's all, simply telling us to fall in love. And that's why birds do it, bees do it, even educated fleas do it. Let's do it, let's fall in love. In Spain, the best of us says do it, Lithuanians and let's do it, let's do it, let's fall in love. The Dutch in old Amsterdam do it, not to mention the Finns. Folks in Siam do it, think of Siamese twins. Some Argentines without means do it. People say in Boston even beans do it. Let's do it, let's fall in love. Rheumatic sponges, they say do it. Oysters down in Oyster Bay do it. Let's do it, let's fall in love. Cold Cape Cod clams against their wish do it. Even lazy deadly fish do it. Let's do it. Let's fall in love. The most select schools of cod do it. Though it shocks them, I fear. Sturgeon, thank God, do it. Have some caviar, dear. In Shady Shoals, English souls do it. Goldfish in the privacy of bowls, do it. Let's do it. Let's fall in love. The chimpanzees in the zoos do it. Some courageous kangaroos. Let's fall in love. I'm sure giraffes on the sly do it. Heavy hippopotami do it. Let's do it. Let's fall in love. The most refined lady. Gentlemen calls. Moths in your rug do it. What's the use of mothballs? The world admits bears in pits do it. Even Pekingeses in a Ritz do it. Let's do it. Let's fall in love.
That was the inimitable Wesla Whitfield giving us a Cole Porter classic. Well, today we had a wonderful, a marvelous party going through various works of Cole Porter and Noel Coward and trying to draw some thematic lines between their extraordinary work, both in England in the West End stage, Coward, and in New York with Cole Porter, although, of course, both men had supreme triumphs in England and London, in England and in New York, respectively, as was the way back then. You took a liner across and you opened your latest review, which had been a big hit in England, sometimes with a different title, on Broadway, which Noel Coward and Cole Porter did. Noel Coward had something of a renaissance in the 50s. He was thought of perhaps as being a little bit old hat. Cole Porter had a little bit of the opposite. He was severely injured in a riding accident in 1938, and even though his work was fantastic with Kiss Me, Kate, I don't think he ever quite personally recovered from that. But Noel Coward had a renaissance, as the British would say, in Las Vegas. As Kenneth Tynan wrote, to see him whole, public and private personalities conjoined, you must see him in cabaret. Some things need to be delivered slowly, even lazily, but Coward's work emerges with the staccato, blind impulsiveness of a machine gun. Well, it was inevitable that he would write his own lyrics to Let's Do It. Cole Porter visited him during his Las Vegas show in 1958 and professed himself pleased. Who wouldn't be pleased? So, in the best way of celebrating the great professional and personal relationship between Cole Porter and Noel Coward, let us hear Sir Noel perform his own lyrics to the wonderfully witty Let's Do It by Cole Porter. I hope you'll enjoy it. I certainly do.
Mr. Irving Berlin often emphasizes sin in a charming way. Mr. Coward, we know, wrote a song or two to show sex was here to stay. Richard Rogers, it's true, took a more romantic view of this sly biological urge, but it really was Cole who contrived to make the whole thing merge. He said the Belgians and Greeks do it. Nice young men who sell antiques do it. Let's do it. let's fall in love. Monkeys, whenever you Luke, do it. Ali Khan and King Farouk, do it. Let's do it. Let's fall in love. Luella Parsons can't quite do it. She's so highly strung. Marlena might do it, but she looks far too young. Each man out there shooting crap does it. Davy Crockett in that dreadful cap does it. Let's do it. Let's fall in love. All famous writers in swarms do it. Somerset and all the moms do it. Let's do it. Let's fall in love. The Brontes felt that they must do it. Ernest Hemingway can just do it. Let's do it. Let's fall in love. E. Allan Poe, ho, 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 did it. But he did it in verse. H. Beecher Stowe did it. But she had to rehearse. Tennessee Williams, self-taught, does it. Kinsey with a deafening report, does it. Let's do it. Let's fall in love. In the spring of the year, inhibitions disappear and our hearts beat high. We had better face facts. Every gland that overacts has an alibi. For each bird and each bee, each slap happy, sappy tree, each temptation that lures us along is just nature, Elmham, merely singing us the same old song. In Texas, some of the men do it. Others drill a hole and then do it. Let's do it. Let's fall in love. West Point cadets forming fours do it. People say all those gabors do it. Let's do it. Let's fall in love. My kith and kin more or less do it. Every uncle and aunt. But I confess to it, I've one cousin that can't. Teenagers squeezed into jeans do it. Probably we'll live to see machines do it. Let's do it. Let's fall in love. Each baby back after dark does it. In the desert, Wilbur Clark does it. Let's do it. Let's fall in love. We're told that every hormone does it. Victor Borga all alone does it. Let's do it. Let's fall in love. We know that both of the lumps did it, and they're still in their prime. McCarthy once did it, but it took a long time. Each tiny clam you consume does it. Even Liberace, we assume, does it. Let's do it. Let's fall in love.
Well, where is the time all gone to? This is Larry Maslon here at Broadway to Main Street. Let's catch up next Sunday at 3.
There's so much more embracing still to be done, but time is racing. Oh, well, we'll catch up some other time.